Support for Alaska Public Media On Demand comes from Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, marking 50 years of compassion and care. Learn more at ANHC's Open House, August 5th, or at anhc.org.
It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm your host, Lisa Keller. Nicole Chamberlain wants everyone to know that cats are extremely capable in the outdoors and make fantastic adventure buddies. Nicole and her cat, Petra, also known as the Meowtineer, have adventured together on the snow and the water. Petra has snow machined, backcountry skied, and paddleboarded. She even happily swims in open water. Petra is a Siberian Force cat, cats that are well known for their adaptations to the cold and their dog-like personalities. Nicole will join us to give advice on how you too can adventure with your cat. That is, if your cat will allow it. After all, they are the ones in charge. Thanks for joining me today, Nicole and Petra.
Hello, Lisa. We are so happy to be on. This is, yeah, pretty funny. And we're excited to just share this little story and hope to make people smile.
Well, this is, to me, this is a very happy story. I love it. And I do have to tell you about what happened when you sent us an email saying, hey, I might have this story for you guys. And so our producer gets those emails and then he sends them out to the four hosts. So there's four of us. And he says, hey, does anybody want this? And I think I was the first one to see the email. And I said, yeah, I want it because I have two cats. I have a dog too, but I'm a cat person. And then the reactions of the other hosts were kind of funny. I think one of the hosts didn't say anything and he normally does say something. And then another one of the hosts said something like, cats, ugh, no way. But my other host, Adam, said, oh, this sounds so cool. And then he sent us all a picture of a cat who's a DJ. And he's like in this little DJ outfit with his paw on a record. And so we had quite a bit of fun with that and just what cats can do that we don't expect that they can do. Yeah. But they're just amazing.
they really are. You know, I was initially probably, if you would have asked me like a year and a half ago, like, cats, do you want to have a cat? I would have had the same reaction as your coworker of, no.
Yeah. That's so funny.
It's been quite a journey.
And so this has only been going on for like a year and a half then.
Yeah. Yeah. This has been I've always, you know, I guess my entire life been what you'd say a dog person. I've always had dogs. I never really wanted a cat. I thought cats were aloof and not fun and not nice and would always run away from you, where dogs are always like, love me, love me, love me. Let's do everything together. And right. The thought of a litter box was like the most disgusting thing in the world to me. And so, when I met my wonderful husband who brought me up to Alaska, he has always grown up with cats and we travel a lot. So a dog just didn't make sense for us in the time. So he was like, let's get a cat. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. Like didn't really want to, but got one. And yeah, now we have a cat who I take everywhere. Basically, now my best friend and I'm like, oh my God, I love cats. I can't believe I said that before.
So let's start with you first. Where did you come from and what did you do growing up and all your adventures?
Yeah. So I'm born and raised in Aspen, Colorado, which I feel like is kind of like the mini Alaska. You know, it's just it reminds me actually growing up there, especially now it's a little different, but it reminds me like my childhood was like Girdwood. You know, you're right downtown, the mountains are right there. There's little dirt roads everywhere that take you. It's a tiny community. It's obviously kind of grown and expanded now to something really different, but still like an amazing place. But yeah, so I was born and raised there and there's just so much to do. It's endless, you know, skiing everywhere. The summer is filled with hiking and mountain biking. There's rock climbing. There's boating. You can raft every river or kayak, whatever your choice is. There's lakes kind of in the area to go hang out in. So
and were your parents really active
You know, kind of. They're originally from Massachusetts. And so I've got a whole family on the East Coast. And my dad moved out there to ski and kind of brought my mom along. So they got there in the early 70s, and it's kind of a unique place there. And so I just grew up with that as my backyard. And my parents, you know, the community there really instills a, you know, a sense of place and wants you to get to know the place. And so it just, you know, it turned into this amazing playground. And so Alaska, I feel like, is just the bigger playground.
Yeah, for sure. How many people live in Aspen now?
It's definitely grown a lot. And I couldn't say exactly what it is now, but I know kind of growing up, it hovered around, you know, between 5,000 to 8,000 to 10,000 people. Mm. Mm-hmm. Who are more full-time residents. Obviously there's an influx. It's tourism is its biggest income driver. So it can, I think, flux up to like 30,000 within like a weekend, maybe more or less. But it's a pretty smallish town. For growing up, a small little city, I guess.
I'm trying to remember, this is really bad, if I've been to Aspen. I don't think I have. I spent time in Telluride, so
Aspen has kind of
the same sort of little old-timey downtown. Yeah, and
mining, original mining community, and kind of blew up as a ski town for a number of different reasons. You know, there was a lot of like post-war era where there was it's actually a really interesting history. There's the 10th Mountain Division guys, where it was this amazing division who were just like originally skiers who were all from like Dartmouth and whatnot, who were just these totally, you know, really insane ski athletes. And a lot of them, I don't know, they went to war, came back, and then they started skiing all over the West Coast. And Aspen was one of the places where they started hosting the World Cup and all these things. So it actually has a really rich and super interesting history, how it's kind of evolved to what it is today. I feel like that's a couple places in Colorado. So
yeah. Yeah. I mean, Colorado and Alaska. I mean, I think the residents of Colorado and Alaska are somewhat interchangeable, you know, the same things.
It. Yeah, exactly. So it was not a hard move for me to come up here by any means.
Yeah. So I mean, you look older than 18 years old. So I'm assuming you spent some time in other places too. And
yeah,
your husband, right?
Yep. I've lived kind of all over. I lived in Arizona for a while. I lived in Maine, which I actually think Maine prepped me well for the kind of darkness of Alaska. Maine kind of is a beautiful place, but kind of didn't have a lot to do in the winter. So I feel like the darkness there is a lot darker than it is here, because there's not as much to do. So I think that prepped me well. And I met my husband and he pulled me up here, and I was like, oh, I'm here and here to stay. So he's originally from Washington State, just north of Seattle, kind of close to Bellingham, actually. Mm-hmm. And he's been up here for 15 years and he just loves it. And so this is our home, and we have an amazing community. The Alaskan community is incredible. People here are so nice and welcoming, and we have amazing friends and community all over the state. So just really,
so good to hear that from somebody who's new, you know, because really Alaska needs young people to come here and do outdoor things.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's definitely, you know, those of us who grew up here and are getting older, we need young people to replace us for sure. But I also personally kind of think that this is going to be the place to be in 10 years. You know, we are all like not very happy with this rainy, cloudy summer. However, you know, people in the lower 48 are suffering through torrential floods and 110 degree heat and
fires,
you know, in Canada and the smoke. And so this is becoming, I think, a more attractive place, especially because, like you said, as opposed to Maine, there's so many more things to do here.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like the endless, it's like, what do you want to do in a day? And especially with the daylight, there's a lot you can do. It's like, we'll go in the spring, like go ski, come back and paddleboard, and then go for a bike ride. I mean, like,
yeah, isn't that great?
You can do that.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So Petra didn't come into your life until you got to Alaska.
Yeah. So she we were just kind of traveling a lot. We go down to Washington to see his family, go down to my family in Colorado. And so we're just kind of traveling a lot. And we knew we wanted a little animal. And my husband was like, let's get a cat. But one of the reasons I'd never had a cat was largely because my family is, a couple of members of my family are super allergic and have pretty bad asthma. So we never could have cats growing up. And so I was like, you know, one, I don't like cats, and two, we can't, cause then my mom could never come. But hilariously, my mom is like super type A, and she's like up at 4 a.m. And my husband was like, what's so bad about giving her some Benadryl? She'll sleep in, she'll hang out. So.
Wait, you're giving your mom the Benadryl, right?
Yeah, not giving
the
cat, my mom, not right? Yeah. Yeah. No. So he's like,
slipping it into her dinner at night or something.
Yeah. He's like, don't worry, we'll just give your mom put some Benadryl and she'll like feel great. We'll like get to sleep in and relax. She's here versus like, go. So kind of a funny side story, but so I could never have a cat. And so he was like, well, we can get a hypoallergenic cat. Do you think that would bother her? And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Let's try it out. So I looked it up and I just thought it was all going to be like the hairless cats, which, you know, I think is what most people would normally think.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Petra, there's a bunch of them actually. Petra is a Siberian forest cat, and the allergen actually comes from their saliva. And so while she's not completely like, doesn't have have this little molecule in their saliva, she doesn't have as much of it as a normal cat does. So when they groom themselves, because they're always grooming, that's what gets on the fur and then goes everywhere. So that's typically what people are allergic to. But Siberian forest cats, among some other breeds, have less of that allergen. Mm. And so if you give them baths more frequently or whatnot, you can reduce the risk that people have who are allergic to cats, which I didn't know at all.
Well, that was the other thing when we first opened up, you know, before we started talking for the show, you showed me Petra and you said you had just given her a bath. And I can't even in my wildest dreams imagine giving my cats baths. So how does that work that she, I mean, did she just start, you start doing that as a kitten, or, I mean, how do you make that happen?
I think definitely some of it was helpful that we started doing a lot of stuff, like everything in general as a kitten. But I think also that she was never completely adverse to water. I wouldn't say she's a huge, like crazy fan of it, but I think she kind of knows if she's dirty, and she's kind of a princess and likes to be clean. But sometimes, yeah, like I'd take a bath or something and she'd come like walk and try to like get in, and I'd be like, whoa, no, this is, you could scratch me. Don't get out of here. You know,
I had a cat that did that to me when I was about your age, put her paw on my leg and slipped in the bathtub and just gashed my leg. Yeah.
It's like total nightmare situation. Yeah. If I'm in the shower, she'll like paw at the shower to try to like get in. So I'm like, it's, you know, it just was kind of funny. Cause I was like, again, I was, don't know a lot about cats, you know, because I never grew up with them. So I was like, all my preconceptions of cats, especially with her, like had totally gone out the door. I was like, I guess she kind of likes water. So it wasn't, you know, which might not be every cat, but she certainly isn't adverse to it. So,
And then you also said she has like 3 coats.
Yeah. So that's what something, and it's so cool because she's like perfect Alaska cat. Mm-hmm. She has 3 coats of fur. And so if I sprinkle water on her, you know, it's like, it doesn't even penetrate. It doesn't even go to her skin. It's almost like it's water resistant on the outside. And then the inside is that nice, like down fluffy fur. Yeah. So she's always warm in the winter, everywhere. You know, I'm like more worried about her overheating than I am about her ever being cold or anything like that, just because she's so fluffy.
does she have little hobbit paws where she has hair growing between her pads?
Oh, totally. Yeah. They're so adapted. These Siberian forest cats, like they are so adapted for the Arctic temperatures. Like she's got the little fluff in between her toes, her little toe beans, I guess is what a lot of people, a lot of cat people
that's
call
cute.
Yeah, little toe beans, I guess. She's got a ton of fur in between them, so she can sit on the snow no problem. She'll sit on her tail if her feet are ever getting a little chilly, and her tail is this like ginormous fluff ball. So it's pretty cool. There's a lot of little adaptations that they have, the 3 coats, the stuff in between the fur. I think their tail is like a pretty big adaptation for just extra warmth because it wraps around them. Their ears have like some extra fur on the inside so that they can block like wind and snowy temperatures, so they can hang in some really cold temperatures.
so obviously Siberian forest cat implies that this cat originated in Russia or in Siberia.
Yeah.
So what is the backstory of the origin story of a Siberian forest cat?
I think a lot of the records aren't there, because I've definitely tried to learn as much as I can about them, especially because there's so many cool adaptations and they're just really cool cats.
Yeah.
But they, I'm pretty sure it's, I mean, don't quote me on this, maybe. I'm pretty sure there's the national, like they might be Russia's national cat, but for whatever reason, they didn't keep good records of where, like, you know, like where was the first one? Are they, were they a cat that kind of breeded with a more wild cat and kind of got these, like there was all these things.
That's what I wonder.
So for whatever reason, they there's just no real understanding of where they came from. And there probably is, maybe at my, you know, Google searching could be done a lot better. So if anybody does know, I'd love to learn. But you know, that's kind of the gist that I've got. Also, I've heard they're really closely related to the Norwegian forest cat,
that which makes sense.
They've got slightly different features and but are very similar. And then also the Maine Coon cat, which are, I think all their personality types are really similar. Like Maine Coons are traditionally like dog-like for a cat.
Right.
And that's kind of in a way how Petra has been, is in my opinion, being mostly a dog owner.
Yeah.
Very much like a dog. Like she follows me everywhere. She wants to go outside. Like right before we got on this call, she was just sitting at the door, just meowing nonstop to go outside. So I had to put her outside for like a second. Then I was like, all right, back inside. Cause we're
yep. so but, she might interrupt us, right?
Yeah, she probably will. She's napping on the couch. Cause also cats just obviously like your kitty right there, love to sleep. So she's, they've had her little time outside and now she's ready after also keeping us up all night. That's a thing too.
Oh, they're very nocturnal though.
Oh boy.
My cats are not nocturnal. They do not keep me up at night. Yeah, no, they like settle down at night.
4 a.m. alarm clock, every like guaranteed.
Oh yeah, no, my cats don't do that.
So it's pretty funny. Oh, that's another funny thing about them. And this might be true of other cats too. I'm not sure, but something I did read is they like to keep their owners warm, so they lay on your chest, and so she's like every 4 a.m. she's literally on my chest and just like kind of weirdly like licking my neck. She like loves to lick my neck.
So that's so sweet.
Yeah, it's really sweet. I'm like, and so I can't get upset because I'm like, so nice to have you. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. You're keeping me warm and safe.
Yeah, thank you, little kitty. And she'll bring up like toys or something. And I don't know if that's like I've read too something about that, meaning like they think that you can't fend for yourself, so they'll bring you stuff. And I was like, she thinks I'm helpless. It's so sweet. So cracks me up. So but
I wonder if, like, just thinking about, you know, the evolution of dogs and cats, and it seems like probably, you know, as cats started moving farther north with people, then the people were going to start to maybe try to, although cats are harder to breed than dogs, it seems, just try to, or maybe it was just naturally selecting for those traits, like those had the three coats and the paws that are more adapted to the cold and the ears that are adapted to the cold. So, because all, you know, the Norwegian cat, obviously, and then the Maine Coon is in a northern environment. So
yeah,
and they're all kind of bigger. Well, they're bigger because of their hair, right? They appear bigger because of all the hair they have.
Definitely part of it. Yeah. But they are bigger. Like they're much bigger, like a Maine Coon cat. Those things can get huge. They're like, can be, I think like 40 pounds or something like that. For if they're like the traditional, like really big ones, they're like a little lynx.
Well, that's what that there is some, well, there can't be dispute at this point with DNA, but I would think that they've looked at that to see, hey, at some point, were they able to breed, you know, with lynx?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was true, just because, I mean, really of all these adaptations, I feel like they would take a long time. And if there's already cats that are up there, it would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
The one thing I noticed about Petra though, too, is she's kind of, aren't those cats, the northern cats, more darker in color usually, or because she's kind of orangish.
She's pretty orange and she's a special one too. I didn't know this, but ginger cats are typically males. So to have a female ginger kitty is pretty rare. So I didn't know that at the time, but she's so extra special, I guess.
Yes, she is.
Not that I'm biased or anything. No, but the Siberians come in a range of colors. Like they have some of them, like Petra's got, you know, obviously like the orangey fur with really bright green eyes. And then there's some that have blue eyes and they're all white or they're gray. There's a whole range of colors, like all of them. All of the colors I think they can have. So I don't know much about why or what that is, but yeah, there's a bunch of them. There's so many and they're so beautiful. They're really
pretty. Very like beautiful cat.
Thick coat. And
yep.
It's just, every time I look at a cat, I'm like, it looks kind of fake. Like they just, the way they sit all proper and everything. It's just, I'm like, all cats, the way they are. I'm like, you guys are just like evolutionary perfection. Like,
yeah,
I know about you. I'm like, you're just perfect. Like your eyes to everything. They're so pretty.
Well, I kind of think I always like that saying that, you know, dogs think you're God and cats think they are God.
And so
that kind of works in on that, that they are just so perfect.
And... I know. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did you get her from a breeder or did you just find her? Or?
We did. And so normally I'm such like all the dogs we've ever had are go to the shelter and, you know, find a little puppy that needs a home, which I'm a huge proponent of. And I feel that way. If you can go get a kitty from a shelter, go do it. The tricky part with us was, you know, we wanted an animal, but I knew I had to have a hypoallergenic one. Oh, and so right. I found a breeder in Colorado. And this was all, you know, it wouldn't have happened if my mom, you know, had a reaction to her. But so basically we found a breeder in Colorado that my mom could drive to. And basically the breeder just had her rub the cat in her face.
Wow.
So she went into a house that was like a breeder's home. So there's lots of cats. And so she had her go in the house alone, which normally my mom would like, and if I have a friend that has a cat or anything like that, and they go into the house, she swells immediately. Mm-hmm. So like, that was the first test. My mom passed that with no reaction. And then she took the cat and like literally rubbed the cat all over her face and like all over her body and had no reaction. And so, yeah, it was really amazing. And so that was where we chose to go just because that, you know, clearly worked. My mom didn't have any type of symptom coming out of that. So it was, once we found that that was going to work for us, we were like, all right, cool. We'll get a kitty.
Yeah.
So
you decided you're going to get this cat because you knew, and you knew you needed a cat that was going to go travel with you, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't. Okay.
The opposite. No, I got a cat because they're so self-sufficient and that you can leave them.
Oh, yeah. I thought you had this grand plan. Like this cat's going to go do everything with us.
No, there was no plan in this. There was zero planning. And so it was more like, we're going to get a cat and cats are great because you can like give them a litter box, free feed them, give them water. They'll be fine.
Yeah. You can leave them for a couple of days and you don't need to worry about them.
Yeah. And so, and you know, have your couple friends, if you're gone for a little longer, go in and make sure there's like a resupply of all the stuff, let them know that they're not like totally alone. But that was the real reason. Cause it was a dog. You can't just leave, you know?
It's very expensive.
Yes. I'm like, some of it's more like expensive than childcare.
Yes.
Like, a doggy daycare versus a childcare. And so that was totally the original plan. But me being me and never having a cat, I was like, well, like the first trip we were going to leave, she to me just still felt like very capable, but like just a little small kitten. I was like, can't leave her.
I was
like, leave her by yourself. Cause at this point I had like already just fallen in love with her. And I was like, I'm not leaving her. And so we took her on a trip and she did great on the plane. And then it was like, well, we were down in Colorado. And because I grew up skiing and I actually I've taught skiing for like 15 plus years now down there. And I was like, well, what if I take her skiing? Before I'd start work or anything, I skin up the mountain. And I was like, normally I'd take my dog. Why don't I take my cat?
Right. You know? Yeah.
So I took her and she did totally fine. She had a great time. And
so that first time you took her up the mountain, how did you take her up the mountain? Did you have a pack for her or did you just put her on your shoulders or?
So a little bit of both. I just had I had the backpack that kind of was the one we traveled with. And so I just put her in that and I lobbed her up a bunch of clothes, you know, and I had little hand warmers where her toes were. It was like, it's a little bit of a hike, you know, it takes me about an hour to get to the top of the mountain. So, you know, and it's in the early in the morning, so it's a little chilly. So I had her all ready and she was just like, she immediately didn't want to be in the bag. She like wanted to sit kind of on my shoulders.
Oh, wow.
And like, so she was kind of standing up on her hind legs and had her little paws, like right on my shoulder, just like looking ahead. And I was like, this is cool. And I was like, all right, I have a little hiking buddy. This is perfect. Yeah. So then, you know, I was a little nervous about skiing, but I was like, well, I'll just have her in the backpack and we'll ski down and that's fine. But again, she like wanted to like get up. She kept like meowing to get out of the bag. So I thought she didn't like it. But then once I had the backpack open and she could just put her little paws on my shoulder, she was like psyched. She just wanted to like look ahead. You know how dogs like always kind of want to look ahead or like kind of like stick their heads out the window and like look straight ahead or whatever. That's what she wanted to do. So I was like, well, this is awesome.
And how old is this? So this is this past season? Cause
the third season would have been, I took her out. Her first time was as spring last year. So this would have been her first like full season. So, and I, it was nice to go out because especially Colorado, because it's so sunny and warm. It was, so it was like really like kind of pretty like hot, warm weather relative to some of the stuff here. But yeah, so she just like started, I just started doing it every morning with her and skinning up and skinning down and skinning up and skinning down. And yeah, she just really, really liked it. And it was just really fun. And after that, I was kind of like, you know, I've never had a cat. So in my mind, I thought like, oh, we'll just leave the cat. But then like in reality, I was like, I can never leave her.
Yeah.
So she started doing everything with us. So I was like, well, if we're going to go do like a bike ride, we'll take her in the backpack again. And she loves it. It's like the same thing. She'll like stick her paws on my shoulders and we'll be carrying, you know, obviously like I bike and ski differently when I have her, I'm not trying to do anything crazy, but it's just, I'll just go at like a nice gentle pace and go do that. And then we started taking her paddle boarding and it just became this whole thing that was, I mean, it, like I just treated her like a dog. Essentially, I was like, load up in the car, let's go. We're going on a little trip, wherever it is, whether it's on a plane or it's on a bike or it's on skis, like wherever.
Does she cue off words like a dog does? If you're like, oh, let's go get in the car. Does she like, oh, I'm ready to go.
She knows. Yeah. And you can totally train cats. I wish I would have put more time early on into that. I'm sure I could still do it. I think I've just been a little lazy with it, but you can absolutely train them. Like she knows words like outside. She knows that like we're going outside. She knows car, she knows treats, of course.
The sounds. What cat or dog doesn't know that, right?
We started doing clicker training. So that's like you click kind of a little clicker device and it's like one click, one treat, one click, one treat. And that totally trained her. If I use the clicker, she'll come to me. So I'm sure there's other commands and things too that like if I would have started that maybe a little earlier, she would have absolutely done. And there are some cats out there who, now that I'm kind of connected to this cat community, which is never would have thought I'd say this out loud, but
Okay. Tell us about this cat community. This is a community of people that have cats that do crazy things that you would never expect a cat to do.
Oh, it's so much bigger than I ever would have thought. Yeah. It's crazy. So once I started doing, like skiing with her and whatnot, I was like, well, it's pretty cute. I'll take some pictures, you know, and I'd never really been on, like I have a personal Instagram, but I'd, you know, kind of only posted like a handful of times, you know, not very many. And I didn't really know how to use it very well and all these things. So I made her an account and
that's the Meowtineer account. Petra Meowtineer. I've got it pulled up right here so I can.
It's pretty funny. And so
that's a lot of really cute and funny pictures. Yes.
Hilarious. And so I just started posting pictures on that. And literally within 3 months, it just blew up. It got, you know, it just got so big. And, you know, I was just kind of like, it was like, I'm not saying it was a joke because I love my cat and my cat's not a joke. We were doing fun things together, but it was like, just so funny to me. Like this stuff is like, just, you know, and obviously it's unique. It's different. It's not normal. We just, you know, but I was just, I'm like, yeah, it's like a cat that I take, like I would take a dog or whatever. And so, but it led to this big community. Like I had no idea that there's so many other cats and owners who are doing very similar things. Like there's cats that go sailing. There's cats that are like really cool bike cats that like hang out the front of, you know, they like, they do it all. There's cats that are out there on the stand-up paddle boards. I mean, they do it all. It's amazing. Wow. Yeah. And I had no idea. And then there's cats who are doing like, you know, who are really good, with like commands and can do like acrobatic stuff. I mean, it's like a whole world that I had no idea about, nor that I never really know about, but it's a really big community. Yeah. It's really,
I did several years ago. I mean, isn't that what the internet was originally created for, was cats videos, right? And I saw, this was several years ago, maybe on YouTube or something. And it was the woman who had trained her cat to hit the buttons and she has like 50 different buttons and that cat, like if you know the cat wants to go outside, it hits a button, it says outside, and And if a cat wants the treat, hits the tree, or wants dinner or whatever, yeah. or just oh even gosh. Just really esoteric things that you would like, how would a cat even know what that is? But they do. And that's what they want. So they hit the button.
It's so cool. Like, and they're really a lot smarter, I think, than we give them credit for. Cause it's just that I've seen those videos and I was like, I want to do that. I'm like, I feel kind of bad that she can't really communicate what she wants to me.
Yeah.
Other than like the very easy things where I'm like, oh, clearly she wants to go outside, or clearly she's like hungry or something like that. But there's, especially when we take her on trips, like particularly in the plane, I remember my first time flying with her, I felt so bad after knowing this and going through this with her, like doing it, like flying a bunch of times. But the first time I thought she was just like, she was meowing like pretty consistently. And I was like, oh, I don't know what it is. I thought she just wanted to get out. And I was like, well, it's plane, you know, you're going to stay in there. But it turns out she was just really hot.
Oh,
and so it just made me feel really, and that's when I realized, I was like, oh my God, she's a cat that has like a ton of fur. I can't like, So once I started, I got her like a little portable fan. And after that, she's like never meowed again on the plane. And I was like, oh, poor girl. She was just like really hot.
She's like a woman of a certain age with a little fan because she's going through menopause. Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, again, who am I now? I'm like, I'm that person traveling with a cat, and I have like a fan for my cat. I'm like, I should get her those ones that we'd get at like Disney World when we were kids that like had a spray bottle.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, she likes water, so.
So funny,
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Lisa Keller. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll hear more about Petra the Adventure Cat from her human, Nicole Chamberlain.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes Store, or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
You are listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. I'm your host, Lisa Keller. My conversation with Nicole Chamberlain, the human who takes the meowtineer on outdoor adventures, continues. That first trip to Colorado, did you already have her like in a harness and a leash? Was she already doing that?
Yes. So we had taken her on like little walks and stuff, just because again, I was like, it's like, I don't want to leave her inside. I feel bad. I'm like,
right.
But so yeah, we had got her trained. There's this amazing company that we love called Surfer Cat Luxury. And they just had amazing, because cats are like escape artists. They can a harness, not secure. So created, it's part of this great cat community. She surfs with her cat. I think she might even be on Netflix. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Oh my God. That's so cool.
But she created this awesome company that makes amazing harnesses for cats, and they just rock. And so she, you know, I purchased stuff from her, and she's awesome. And it's a cool little company. But yeah, so we got her all trained up on that, which is really awkward for cats. Like if you went and put a harness on your cat right now, your cat would probably just like freeze and not be able to move.
Yeah.
And so it definitely takes a bit of learning, and it's not like an instant thing. Like it's not like putting a dog, like collar on a dog. Like nothing about this is like training a dog.
Yeah.
Like walking a cat is not like walking a dog at all.
Because they are God. We need to remember that.
Exactly. And we go at their pace in their time, which is just like it's like, I'm going for a pensive walk. I'm just gonna just really be in the moment and go slowly. But yeah, so I had to really create go at her pace, essentially, is like really the key to it. Is, you know, we did a lot of work with treats, getting her used to it. And luckily, she gets things pretty quickly, especially now. But when she was a kitten, it was like, you know, I wanted to take things, you know, for the most part, kind of slow. Obviously, I did throw her like on the bag to go skiing. But
yeah,
at that point, she was already kind of like used to a key thing. She was used to the backpack. She liked the backpack. It wasn't like a foreign space for her. Cause I hear like even nightmare trips of people going to the vet, and I'm like, well, it was a nightmare largely because your cat's never in a crate. So like shoving it in a crate is already a traumatizing experience. And then you go to
the vet. That's a nightmare for me, I will admit.
Yeah, it's hard. So it's like, you know, we've got, I started a little website where you can, where I just like posted like little training tips on like how to do this. And one of them was, I think on there is maybe like how to get used to a carrier, and harness and leash and all the things. But,
yeah, I really like this. This is actually really helpful if you have a young, cat, and I guess you could try it with an older cat that would be,
I think you could. Yeah.
Yeah. That's maybe super comfortable in itself, you know, but you have like adventure cat basics, harness training, leash training, and backpack training.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the basics. I feel like that's so, once you have that down, it's like you and your cat can go conquer it all.
Yeah.
Like go up laptop, go up O'Malley, you can do it.
Yeah. And there are more great pictures here of Petra out in the wild and doing adventurous things. So, but I thought that those were really, when I read through them, very helpful to people who want to do this with their cats.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just all, I really think that cats, I mean, coming from a person who didn't like cats at all to now who is on a radio show talking about adventure cats, I think they can, they're so capable and they can totally do it. And it's, they're amazing little, like my feline adventure buddy. She's awesome. Yeah. She's so fun. She like really enriches like all of our trips. Like when you take a dog with you, it just makes it better. You know,
it does.
Like when I had a dog, I loved my dog. It was the best.
Yeah.
The cat is the same thing. And in a way, sometimes it's a little easier to just scoop him up and you put him in the backpack.
Right.
Which I guess you can do with little dogs too, but it was just, it's so fun. And so I feel like once you get those all down, like once the harness is normalized and then just getting out there on a leash, and cause that's an awkward thing, but really the harness and the carrier, like whatever, mm-hmm. it's a backpack carrier, whatever, even if you're going to the vet, it's mm-hmm. like, if you just leave out the bag, leave the harness out, so they're not foreign objects, just like in like a spot where your cat normally likes to go, and put treats around it and whatnot. So it doesn't become something that's, it's like, oh, I'm already used to this.
Right. And you know? I think somewhere I read, you said something about the carrier being like Petra's like safe place.
Oh yeah. For
like
sure.
Like when you get dogs crate trained, same thing, you know, that's their safety place to go to.
Yeah. So if we're ever, especially cause you know, I've never been out with her and had like a negative dog experience, but there are dogs that do not like cats and will go after a cat. And so I've luckily never experienced that, but I think it's largely too, because we always like her backpack is a safe spot. And so if I do see a dog on a trail or something, I just pick her up and I put it in her bag and she loves it. But I think it also is for her, if she's ever in a place where maybe she isn't uncomfortable, she'll just go crawl in her backpack. And she loves it.
So yeah,
it's really helpful. It's like a nice little place for her, and cats like little, as you know, like
right. They
can kind of burrow down and they can still see out, but you know.
Yep. And they think you can't see them.
Yeah, they don't. They're like, they can't see me.
So on your Instagram, one, I think it's pinned at the top is Petra swimming somewhere, not in Alaska. It doesn't look like she's swimming somewhere.
Yeah. That was in Cape Cod. My cousin got married and we took a big trip from Alaska to Boston. Oh my gosh. Really? I mean, down to the Cape, which is even like, that alone can take 8 hours. That traffic is bad. But we took her up there and boy, it was so hot. And those were some of those times where like, she's not water adverse, but she won't actively go in on her own. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you watch that video, my gosh, she walked right into the water. Like I was standing in the water and I was kind of coaxing her, but I was like, there's no way she's going to go in like this. And she went right in and just started.
And she swam.
Yeah. And I was like, where are you going? Come back.
I mean, that is really crazy when you look at that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So she is just, it was amazing. I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she just did that. But if the weather is right, if she's hot, like she's going to take care of her needs. It was just like, she's content in that type of world. She was happy. She was like, I'm really hot. Cause that was probably the hottest I think we'd all been. Cause with the up here, the temperature is pretty reasonable over there. I was like, it was like 100 degrees. And I was like, this poor little kitty. And she just went right in and loved it.
And so when you go like paddleboarding, this looks like it might even be at Sand Lake maybe or something. Paddleboarding. Yep. Yeah. And, does she just like jump right onto the paddleboard or do you have to put her on the paddleboard?
Sometimes it can be both. It depends. Okay. Yeah. So sometimes she's like excited to go out there. And I think that's just, I feel like maybe adventure cats in general, it's totally up to them. Mm-hmm. I feel like with cats period, you can't really force them to do anything.
Right.
Or else you're gonna kill it literally.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of like if we'll go out there, she'll hop right on the paddleboard and we'll go out and do a nice paddle. And if not, you know, we'll just like maybe put her back at her friend's house who lives over there. So yeah, because she doesn't like to be forced to doing things and I don't like the consequences of forcing her to do something. So
yeah,
I've got the scars to prove it.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I think one of the other amazing things about her is that she wears goggles, ski goggles.
So funny.
Yeah. How did you ever get her to tolerate those?
And again, it's totally up to her. If she doesn't want to wear them, she takes them right off. But it's this amazing brand for dogs. I think they're called Rex Specs, and they're really cool. I think they're not quite made for military dogs, but a lot of military dogs use them, and they have a bunch of other cool stuff ear protection, like that. But they're made for dogs, kind of like everything in the pet market.
Yeah.
But I just got the extra small pair and I put them on her, and they're really solid. They're as good as all of our glasses. They're UV protect, everything is really solid. And so, you know, we'd go out skiing and boy, I wouldn't not be wearing sunglasses or goggles, and especially all the, you know, the light reflecting off the snow. I mean, it's really not good for you. And so,
and she has green eyes, right?
Yeah.
So she has lighter pigment, you know, not able to filter that as much.
No. Yeah. So I just, and same with going out on the water, both of those are just super harsh on your eyes. And, you know, I'm we're doing this stuff with her all the time, and she's my little baby, and I want her eyes to be protected. And it's a big thing in the dog community too. You'll maybe see them more and more, but a lot of dog owners have them. So they're just this great, dogs are maybe a little easier to train with them, but yeah, kind of in the same way that we trained her with the harness and the leash and the bat trainer, it's all about getting her comfortable with it. So I put them on her without the lenses, and then
But they had the strap around them.
Yeah. And so she's used to it because of the harness. I think she's used to things being kind of on her already. That was helpful. So the hard part really is, I don't think she likes, or initially when we were starting it, she doesn't really like looking out of them. She'd rather see the world with their own eyes. But they've got all these great lenses that are just, your ski lenses. Some are better in the bright sun, some are better on flat light, they have clear lenses that are awesome. So,
and what's the deal? Well, how do cats see color? Do they see the same as we do, or do they have different colors or not see some colors? Or
I know they have much better eyesight than we do. Mm-hmm. Maybe, actually, I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure.
Huh.
Yeah. I know she really likes the clear lenses, which still have UV, they support that, but on really sunny days, I usually will give her those kind of normal looking ski glass lenses.
Yeah. But
she doesn't like those as much. She'll take those off quicker than she will the other ones. So
I wonder if, because it's maybe filtering out some of the light or something. It's harder.
I'm sure it is. Those. Yeah, I'm sure. And I'm pretty sure their eyes, I mean, sometimes I actually wonder, are you good at seeing? Because I'll be there's squirrels right in the backyard and she won't even look at them. How do you not
do
that?
I did see the YouTube of her looking at the moose and the calf though.
Oh my God. So funny. Yeah. That moose was born in our neighborhood. It was so,
that's so cool.
So cool.
And it was a little tiny calf. That calf had to only be a day or two old.
Oh, it was. Yeah. It was so cool. And it was pretty late at night. That was as you kind of see you and us in Alaska know, but that was probably midnight or something.
Yeah.
We had all of our blinds closed and we were just kind of down there and in our living room, and she kept running around and I was like, what is she doing? And so we wouldn't have even known they were right there had she not have kind of alerted us to them. It was so she loved, she loves the Alaska wildlife.
Yeah. That's cool. My cats both have a little growl that they do when they're alerting me to stuff outside. I've never heard a cat growl. It's like a little rumble growl thing.
Yeah.
So I know something's going on outside. Like, so if there's a moose out there, they'll make that sound.
Know. I'm that's so cool.
Yeah.
Petra just makes physical noises. Cause she's kind of a thick little girl. She's she's a big kitty. So she just makes noises. Cause you can hear her jumping off stuff.
One of the big questions I had for you too is, how do you deal when you're traveling with her going to the bathroom? Do you have a portable litter box you take with you?
Do.
Okay, there we go.
Sure do. You got it. Yeah. So, the same company that does the harnesses and everything, that's called Surfer Cat Luxury. They have a great travel bag that has a litter box at the bottom of it. So I will say when she's traveling, I think, maybe people, she gets a little stressed, so she doesn't need it as much, but there have definitely been some emergency moments where I've been very grateful for it. So yeah, but when we get on a plane, it's this awesome bag that she loves because we've gotten her so used to. And it's another, like, it's not the backpack, but it's like a really safe, nice bag that she loves. It's very cozy and has like nice memory foam and stuff. So she's a pampered little kitty. But yeah, it has a litter box right at the bottom of it. And then yeah, like a whole compartment with like little food bowls and water. And so she all of her needs traveling from this one little bag, and it's awesome. So it's been, yeah, definitely a lifesaver in some moments.
So I, because I'm curious about the logistics of this, has she used it on the airplane?
No, thank goodness.
Like if you have a layover, do you give, take her to the pet area and give her a chance to?
I normally, yeah. So I was originally doing that, but then the pet area is usually a bunch of dogs, which make her like kind of stressed. So she never would do anything there. So sometimes I'll just take her into like a family bathroom or something. But then again, she like kind of like is kind of stressed about it. And I have learned to know her meows and like what she wants, and which sounds so silly, but I guess any like a dog, like dog parents know, like, you know, all these things, like what their needs are. And so, yeah, we have, I've never had anything where she's needed to go, shockingly, because Alaska flight, I'm usually flying Alaska to Denver, and that's a long flight. And then sometimes just because the flight to Aspen is always like a nightmare, because a tiny airport.
Not
so often we will get stuck in Denver. She's never had to go, thank goodness, but we have it all. There's been other emergencies, like we're like when we were in Cape Cod driving down, that was a long day and she really needed to go in the car. And my dad had rented, it's such a funny story, this tiny little, like we called it the clown car. It was one of like the tiniest cars you can get. And there was like so many of us packed in this car and the cat, there's no backseat. There's like a tiny backseat, but there's no like, you know, back area or anything. And so she had to go, and she was just giving me this meow that she had to go. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. So I just opened up her litter box and like, I lifted up my feet and were like, and put the litter box down there. And she just went, and I was like, oh, thank
goodness. Wow. That's just another unexpected thing that you would never expect a cat to be able to do.
Yeah. Which though, when we're outside, cats dig a hole. She just goes out and digs her own hole. So
it's what I was wondering about that too. Yeah. So if there's just loose dirt or whatever, she just digs a hole and goes.
And goes. Yeah. And obviously I have like dog bags. If I need to scoop anything up too, I don't leave it out there, but
thank you.
She'll just do that. I actually remember this thing when I was backpacking in Argentina, and they had signs everywhere in Spanish, but it was like, be like a cat and bury your poop. In Spanish, I was like, cats are just great. I was like, they're just awesome. They're really cleanly.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, as long as there's a place to dig, they'll go. So, and then when we're in the car, because obviously Alaska is a lot of driving, we just have a giant tote. The litter that we use is awesome litter. It's called Catalyst, and it's like this nice like wood chip stuff. And so it doesn't even smell, because that was a big reason I didn't want a cat either, was the litter box, because it's such a, you know, I always thought they were so gross. But yeah, no, we just, you find the right litter, which we love Catalyst. It just smells like wood chips. So she doesn't smell like anything. It doesn't smell like the car or anything. It's just, we put it in a little tote, and I'll put it in the back of the car, and you just don't even know it's there, but she does.
Wow. Perfect. That's great. And so when the car is moving, well, obviously she did that at your feet once. So
yeah,
she'll just, if it's just like the two of you and your husband, she'll just go back to where that is and
and
no take problem. Care of it.
Yeah. It's like totally contained. We don't smell it or notice it until I clean it out.
Oh, awesome. That's great. That's great.
So we only need to make pit stops for when we need to go.
Yeah. If only we could do it just like cats and keep going.
So funny. But yeah, no, it's definitely a big, that was a big challenge but luckily there's people who've been doing it a lot longer than I have. So they've got it totally not like dialed in, which is cool.
That's great.
So
I do not want to not get to kind of, I think the reason that you first reached out to us, and that's because you and Petra went to the Sheldon Chalet.
Oh my gosh. It was.
So tell us about that. Yeah.
Most incredible experience. So my husband and I, initially we were at the Challenge Alaska fundraiser, and they have a live auction. And so we won a 2-night stay up at the Sheldon Mountain House, which is the original structure that Don Sheldon, who is just, I mean, what a legend that man is. We have his book, Wager in the Wind, and boy, we're reading that right now. And it is just the most incredible stories of fly. Like, he's the first man to fly a plane and land it above 14,000 feet. Like, just incredible. And all these insane rescue stories where it was like people were giving up, you know, rescue missions were giving up on people who were climbing Denali, but he did not. And he went there and just saved so many lives. I mean, incredible. But so anyway, we, yeah, wanted the night stay at this amazing auction for our favorite nonprofit, Challenge Alaska, which is just such a great organization. But yeah, so I had been in touch with Marnie Sheldon, and she's just fantastic. And so as we, they are all in Talkeetna. And as we know, Talkeetna like has a special love for cats.
That's right. They have the mayor.
Yeah, the mayor's a cat, which Stubbs. And I think rest in peace, Stubbs, but there's interim mayors who've been elected and
okay, that's good.
Talkeetna already had like a love with cats. But yeah, I remember calling her and I was just so embarrassed. And I was like, hey, Marnie, like, and she's so nice and bubbly and super fun and so accommodating. And I was like, this is such a embarrassing question. I'm sure you've never got it before, but we have a cat who's really adventurous and we would love to take her if you are okay with that. And initially it was kind of like, oh, that's so funny, we'll think about it, you know. And then she got back to me and she was like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, I've looked at all the videos, like, your cat's totally capable, it's like not going to be a thing. And especially because the flight out there is, you know, I feel like that would have been the hardest for any animal. That's a very loud, small bush plane. The beavers are loud.
Yeah.
So that's how we got it. And so we added on a couple extra nights just because who doesn't want to be up there as long as you can?
Yeah.
And I had my sister and her boyfriend. And so we all went up there, and that was this last May. Mm-hmm. And boy, was it just a magical place. We had incredible weather, and Denali is just right there. There is nowhere in the world like the Sheldon Mountain House and Chalet. Like, they have, it is just the most beautiful place I have ever been. And it's just so special. It's on, I think they call it the geologic term is like a nanatuck, I believe.
Yeah. And I was looking at that. I had never heard that term before, actually. So yeah.
This huge rock mound, just surrounded by glaciers that Don Sheldon found. And that's where he, you know, built his amazing, he homesteaded the land. Mm-hmm. And which I'm like, of course, nobody really thought about homesteading on Denali. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, exactly.
So we brought Petra up there. The flight was awesome. We went with Talkeetna Air and they were just so great because they have their own like hangar cat too named Beaver, which is cool. So Beaver and Petra met, and they, you know, I think had a good interaction for cats.
Oh, good. They didn't fight with each other or anything.
No, they had a good time. And so we had, met them and we jumped on the flight. And Petra, again, like, I wasn't sure. I was like, we've been on planes, but this one is really loud. And we got her these little earmuffs. And it's just so silly. Like, I still can't believe this is like what I'm talking about, but this is what we did. And
this is why people should always be open for change.
I know. It's so true. Yeah.
Because look what's happened. Look how it's opened up your life.
I know. It really has. And it's just been such a joy. And so, we have a little earmuffs for her and got on the plane. And boy, her little face was just out the window. She was just excited. She was like wanting to run around everywhere and was I want to look out this window. I want to look out this window. And just was like, she loved it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm loving more, the view, the cat loving the view. I don't know.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so we landed and we got out of the plane and then she was just chilling, you know, she's just sitting on all our gear because we brought all of our gear to do everything. Cause we were like, all right, well, we'll do as much skiing and like bigger skiing and stuff as we can while we're out here. And, you know, Kitty can kind of hang and, you know, watch us from the mountain house. And, so we like started skinning up to the hut and got all of our stuff set up, and boy, she just loved it. She was this awesome hexagon and toasty warm with a giant beautiful stove right in the middle. And she was just all over it, just looking at Denali. She liked to get on the roof. She was like obsessed with going on the roof. And it was just, it's the most incredible experience. Yeah, we loved it and Petra loved it. And they've got a great zone right behind the Nanatuck, like right above it. There's a ton of mountains everywhere all around it, of course, but they're right behind, there's a great slope that's a glacier. But timing and just the way the glacier is, it's like totally safe to ski on up there, and at least when we were there in May. And so, yeah, we were just lapping that, and I'm like, all right, we did it. It's solid. Let's get the cat.
Oh my gosh.
And so, and it was the weather right before we had gotten there. We actually had to push our trip a little bit back because it had snowed a lot and the weather had socked in, so the pilots couldn't land. So we had fresh pow. It was like the best snow ever, skiing on a glacier, looking at Denali, looking at the mountain house and the chalet with a cat on my back. And I was like, what a surreal moment.
Is so amazing. I think I see the picture now. I'm pretty sure. Well, you're on a, yep. So there's a picture of you with Petra perched over your shoulder, looking a beautiful blue sky with some wispy clouds.
Oh, it's just so cool. Yeah.
That looks really, really cool.
Yeah. It's such a magical place. I mean, there's nowhere like that in the world where you can be that level of comfort. You know, you have all of your needs, you've got a nice little hut, because there's hut systems like that I've done in Colorado, which are great and they're really fun, but boy, it's just to be that close to Denali.
Yeah.
One of the most iconic peaks in the world. Mm-hmm. And we flew in, you land on a glacier, like that alone is an amazing experience. And so then to just be able to stay there and really just appreciate like everything that it took for this to even happen, I was just like in awe of the Sheldon family and everything that they've done. And then just how grateful we were to them that we could even be up there, never mind having our cat be there.
Yeah.
And for that. So she's, the first kitty to be at the Sheldon Mountain House and go skiing, I guess, in Denali National Park, which is pretty cool.
That is super, super cool.
Pretty awesome. And I think the year before she had won Alaska's Most Adventurous Pet or something like that, which is hilarious. And so I was like, I feel like Alaska's like the most adventurous state. So I was like, maybe the entire US, Petra.
Yes, for sure. Well, before we sign off here, I do want to read this quote that you have on your website, which I thought was just really awesome. And that's, cats are extremely capable in the outdoors and make fantastic adventure buddies. I love that. Says it all right there.
Yeah. So. And basically our whole goal is to just, get outside and do, and like the smallest things can like bring you so much joy, and I feel like that's just such a good way of looking at it. It's so silly and it brings nothing but just so much happiness into our life. So just like get out there, and even if it's just going in the backyard with your cat, or even just like having your cat like in a little bubble outside or something. I don't know. Yeah. Do anything. Have a catio. Exactly. Yeah. Catio is a great way to do it, and get out there, and there, it just brings them a lot of happiness. Might take time because everything with cats is a little nervous at the beginning, but boy, it's just brought nothing but just so much happiness into our life. And we just love her and we love what we're able to do with her. And she's made it just so like our life so full. It's so fun.
That's
can't believe I never liked cats. I'm like, I'm like, everyone get a cat and take it on adventures.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Nicole. This has been an awesome conversation. And I really am glad that you could share your adventures with Petra with us. So thanks so much.
Oh, well, thank you. It's such a pleasure. I've had a smile on my face this whole time. It's so fun. Again, everything is just so fun. And the goal is to make people laugh and smile and have a good fun time outside. So thank you so much for the opportunity. It's such a pleasure meeting you too. You're wonderful.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. That's it for today's show. Thanks to my guest, Nicole Chamberlain, and the Meowtineer, Petra the Adventure Cat. You can find pictures of their adventures and links to their social media pages on the Outdoor Explorer page on alaskapublic.org. The show is produced by Eric Bork. My name is Lisa Keller, and from all of our hosts here at Outdoor Explorer, thanks for listening, and we'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and in your favorite podcast app. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.